الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His aid and assistance in that which we are going to go through today, and that He makes us from those who are mukhlis, sincere for His deen, and that we benefit from that which remains from these couple of days, this blessed month of Ramadan. And we, inshallah ta'ala, will continue with the benefits as it relates to Shahr Mumti' of Shaykh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala. And inshallah ta'ala, we're trying to increase our understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi ad-deen." And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for, He gives him fiqh, understanding of the deen. And that which is understood from this hadith is the mafhum mukhalafa, which is the inverse meaning, and that is whoever Allah doesn't want good for, He will not give them understanding of the deen. So we're doing this and going through this so we can increase in our understanding of the deen, and we can understand how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon basira. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنُ وَالْإِنسِ لِلْيَعْبُدُونَ. I've not created the mankind and the spirit world, jinn, except for worship, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And there is no way that we can know that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us to do in ibadah, except that we seek knowledge, from the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is obligatory upon us to understand and know that which we need in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those obligatory things that we need to know in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why we're going through this. Last lesson, we dealt with some issues. Does anybody remember the last issues we dealt with? We dealt with some issues last lesson. As-salamu alaykum. Or shall I ask you questions, or... You prefer me to ask you questions? Okay. What are the three foundations of that which breaks the fast? What are the three foundations? Not the only things that break the fast, but what are the three foundational things that break the fast? The three foundational things that breaks one's fast. Now, relations, eating and drinking. Relation, eating and... drinking. Jameen, what's the definition of eating? I know everyone says we know, we all know how to eat. But what's the definition of eating? And we and tell me why it's important we know the definition of eating. What's the definition of eating? Entering something to your stomach through your mouth. Entering something in your stomach through your mouth. And that includes that which is what? Beneficial, and that which is what? Harmful. Beneficial like what? Milk, honey, and so forth. And non-beneficial, harmful like? Alcohol, cigarettes, hashish, and the rest of those things that are haram. Okay? So that's the definition of eating. Why is this definition important? What does it help us understand? Sense. Some people believe that if something's harmful and it's not an apple or it's not an orange or something like that, that it doesn't break your fast. And that's why Shaykh Muthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi, he gave this definition, and it's daqiq. It's jami mani. Okay. We'll quickly proceed today, inshallah, because I've got to make the lesson short today, inshallah. Samihuni. We're going to continue with those things that breaks the fast. We're going to continue with those things that breaks the fast. And some of the same stuff we're going to mention is from the deen, and it's something that we need to know for ourselves and also for our children and our families. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourselves and your family from the hellfire. Some And the station of the ulama as it relates to it, or the position of the ulama as it relates to this in respects to the Quran and the Sunnah. The first one is ihlil. The first one is what? Ihlil. The issue is ihlil. Ihlil, as we mentioned before, if you remember, we mentioned ihtiqan. Do you remember ihtiqan? Suppositories. Ihtiqan is what? Suppositories. What's a suppository? Taking medication from the anus. Taking medication from the anus, which is usually used when people have what? High fever. We mentioned last week the ihtiqan. Does that break your fast or not? Huh? Suppository. Doesn't break your fast.
Is it from the back?
Yeah, the medicine you take from the back and it cools you down. Does that break your fast? It doesn't break your fast. Why? Because it has no root to your stomach. And remember the definition of akal. That's why the definition of eating is important. We said it's something that you put in your mouth that has an avenue to your stomach. But as for the suppository, it doesn't have that. Ihtiqan. Now we're talking about something similar to that, and that's ihlil. Ihlil is medication through the penis. The hole. And that's a medication that's taken sometimes when people are ill. Okay? It's a medication that goes through there. So putting medication through there in order for a specific type of illness. The ulama have discussed whether this breaks your fast or not. The ulama have explained that this, which is idkhal shay an tariq al-dhakr, khaytan. They put a rope, a thread. And through the thread they put what? Medicine. It's like, for example, when somebody has stone, you know, somebody has stones, part of the medication that's used is either they give you a lot of water to drink so you can wash it out. Sounds like a medical lesson, but this is from the ilm, this is from the deen. So it's just like we drink water so you can bring the stone out, or they put a tube or something in the penis in order to help the release the stone, in order to release the stone, which is a dangerous illness. Now that's the type of thing there, where a string or so, a thread is put through in order to give medication to the sick person. The ulama said that, the Shaykh Muthaymeen, rahmatullah alayhi, he said that this doesn't, what? This doesn't break the fast. That this doesn't break the fast. This is simple. Why doesn't it break the fast? Why doesn't it break the fast? Based upon, this is a fiqh lesson, so we need to use fiqh. Which means that you use the usul and use the foundations that we've been doing for the past few weeks. And you use the issues that we use to help you understand this. So why is it not, does this not break your fast?
Because the definition is
That doesn't come under the definition of eating and so on. There's no taghdiya. There's no what? Taghdiya. There's no nutrition in there. Mumtaz. Another reason, using usul, the qaida that we used, the principles that we used. Exactly what the brother mentioned. There's no avenue to the stomach. Excellent. That's the first reason. There's another reason. It doesn't nourish. That's combined with that reason. There's one more reason based upon the principles that we used before. Remember, what did we say last week doesn't break the fast? The suppository, sir? Yeah? The suppository doesn't break the fast, sir? So, minbab al-awla, if the suppository doesn't break the fast, then the ihlil, I don't know the English translation for ihlil, but the ihlil, the medication through the penis, if that shouldn't break the fast if the suppository didn't.
Yeah.
It's more likely that the suppository will break the fast. So min bab al-awla, qiyas al-awla. That's why I understand having this usul is muhim. Having this usul is muhim. So that's number one, inshallah. We'll just go through them, inshallah, smoothly today, inshallah, because of time. Number two is istiqa. And that's what? Vomiting. Generally. Does vomiting break one's fast? Does vomiting break one's fast? As for vomiting accidentally, okay, accidentally, that does not break your fast. With that vomit that you cannot control. Yani, there's this type of, you heave, and then you wrench, and then blah, it comes out. And there's no control. You have no control over that vomit. That type of vomiting does not break your fast. Okay, we're dealing with another issue now with vomiting. That's point number one, regards to vomiting. Vomiting that you have no control over, it doesn't break your fast. The second issue with vomiting is heaving. You know heave, when you heave? And you go like this. That doesn't break your fast. Okay, even if you try. Even if you put your finger in your mouth and you try and vomit, but you're not successful, and you just heave, that doesn't break your fast. That doesn't break your fast. So heaving indefinitely doesn't break your fast because there's nothing coming out. Now, point number three, and that is vomiting breaks your fast if you do it intentionally, whether it's a little bit comes out, even if it's just a little bit that comes out. If you intentionally vomit, like sticking your finger down your throat, okay, if you do that and only a little bit comes out, it still breaks your fast. If you do it, it breaks your fast. If you do it, it breaks your fast. But the aglabiyah that some will come back. And that's the ta'leel, and that's the reason why some of the ulama say it's haram. It breaks your fast. Because generally, ghaliban, it does that. And as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, na'tabir bil ghalib la binadir. In fiqh. That we base the rulings upon that which is usually happens, not that which is rare. Not that which is what? Rare. So if somebody forces himself to vomit, it breaks his fast. A, by sticking his finger down his mouth. In order to understand vomiting, which is again, Shaykh Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains what causes vomiting, different types of things that cause vomiting. And the first thing the Shaykh mentions, and before that is from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in a musnad of Imam Ahmed, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man istaqa'a amdan falyaqdi." Whoever vomits intentionally, then let him make up his fast, i.e. after the month of Ramadan, make up his fast, because he vomited intentionally. This is in a hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and Sunnah Abi Dawud and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and the Sa'in Kubra. And the Shaykh then, rahimahullah ta'ala, he just mentions the different types of things that cause people to vomit. And the first is looking at something. So when you see something, it may cause you to vomit. You might not necessarily be sick, but because it's abhorrent to you, it will cause you to vomit. And number two is smelling. And number two is what? Smelling. So maybe there's a smell that causes you to vomit. And there's nothing you can do about that. The next one is al-asr. Like, do you know what you do to grapes? When you grapes, You turn it into liquid. If you do that with your stomach, and it causes what? You to vomit, this is intentional. This is what? Intentional. And this will break your fast. This will break your fast. And the last one is jadhab. And that's by sticking your finger in your mouth. That breaks your fast also. And the Sheikh mentions the final one actually. And that's why a sema'. That you hear something and it causes you to vomit. And it causes you to vomit. You're smiling like, how can that happen? It happens. It happens. If there's something shocking, some people get depressed, something that's abhorrent, something that's really, really shocked them, it can cause them to what? Vomit. And sometimes when they hear that somebody has died that's close to them, it may cause them to vomit. So Sheikh Muthaymeen mentions from there that hearing certain things can cause you to vomit. And those things that break your fast is that which is unintentionally, and that's by squeezing your stomach and also by sticking your finger down your throat. Now, some of the ulama said that vomiting doesn't break your fast. Like Ikrima, rahmahullah ta'ala, and the students of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, said that it doesn't what? Break your fast. And Rabi', the Shaykh of Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, naam. Rabi', the Shaykh of Imam Malik. And Imam Malik opposes Shaykh. Imam Malik opposed his Shaykh and says that intentional vomiting causes you to break your fast. But Rabi' and also Ikrimah rahimahullah, they are the opinion that it doesn't break your fast. Now, what opinion is correct? Now, which of the two opinions is correct? Does it break your fast or does it not break your fast?
When you hear it?
No, intentionally vomiting.
It does.
It does break your fast. Why? Because the hadith. The hadith is clear. The hadith is what? It's clear. Huh? No, it doesn't have an intention. Of course, it does have something to do with it. In that, if you don't intentionally vomit, then it doesn't break your fast. Naam. And, naam. So that's the second point. The first one was what? Ihlil. What's ihlil? Naam. And istiqa? So you know this ibarat. It's making yourself vomit. It's making yourself. And qay is vomiting. And istiqa is making yourself vomit. Number three, and that's istimna, and that's masturbation. Now, the ulama differed as to whether this breaks your fast or not. Istimna, the definition, Shaykh Muthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said, is the exiting of semen through pleasure, whether it's by any means, whether it's by any means. And that's what he calls istimna. The ulama, such as Imam Shafi'i, Malik, Abu Hanifa, and Imam Ahmed, they say that this breaks your fast. That this what? Breaks your fast. But the Zahiriyya, such as who? Huh? Ibn Hazm. Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah ta'ala. Huh? Scholars, taban. No, I don't think so. But Zahiriyya is a incorrect madhab, naam, because it eliminates ijma, doesn't agree with ijma and the qawl of sahaba, and also qiyas. And there's hujjah in the Quran and Sunnah that both should be taken as proof, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses qiyas al awla in the Quran. Allah uses qiyas al awla in the Quran. And ijma of the sahaba. The Prophet said, لا يجتمع أو تجتمع أمتي على ضلالة, that my ummah will not unite upon deviance. So that's from the proofs of ijma. The Zahiriyya, they say that they don't have this and they don't have that, which is why they say istimna is, or masturbation does not break your fast, because there's no clear hadith and there's no clear verse in the Quran and no clear hadith that shows this. So they don't use qiyas and they don't use ijma, and this is important in fiqh, as we'll see, inshallah. So therefore, that's the two opinions. Say that it breaks your fast, and other says it doesn't break your fast. Now, if the proof comes to them, okay, if somebody, just all he knows is that this is alright, and the proof hasn't come to him, then he's going to take that opinion. But obviously, as soon as the hadith comes to him, then he has to take the sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar ibn Khattab, he said, جُعْلَ ذِلَّ لِكُلِّ مَنْ خَالَفَ أَمْرِي. Humiliation would befall everyone that opposes my affair. As soon as the proof comes to him, yani, and from the Quran and Sunnah, and he rejects that, then he is what? He'll be humiliated. And also Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in Miftah, he says that the person who rejects the proofs after it's been established to him, Allah will deviate his heart. His heart will be deviated. You know, السيئة تدعو إلى أختها والحسنة تدعو إلى أختها. Principle. And that is, a good action would lead to another good action, and an evil action would lead to another evil action. So by rejecting the Quran and the Sunnah and the evidence and the proofs when it comes to you, it leads to further deviance. Yani its sister calls to its what? Other sister of deviance. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if the ulama take that opinion, it's because the proof hasn't come to them. Nuhsin bihim dhan. The ulama of the Sunnah. Tayyib. So Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmed, Imam Malik, and Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, they are of the opinion that masturbation does what? Break your fast. And that's the Jumhur. Ibn Hazm, the Zahiriyyah, they say what? La, because there's no clear evidence. Sheikh Muthaymin, rahmatullah, he says, ولكن عندي والله أعلم أنه يمكن أن يستدلوا أو يستدلوا على أنه مفتر من وجهين. Sheikh Muthaymin says, now, because they're saying, the Zahiriyya saying, that there's no proof. We say, yes, rather there are proofs. And the Sheikh says that, according to me, according to him, rahimahullah ta'ala, that it can be proved by two ways that masturbation breaks the fast. The first is from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith Qudsi, يَدَعَ طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ وَشَهْوَاتُهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. The hadith of Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising the fasting person, and he says that they leave their food, and they leave their drink, and they leave their desires, min ajli, for me. Sheikh Muthaymin says, the first angle of proof showing that masturbation breaks your fast is that it's been Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith Qudsi put eating and drinking along with what? Desires, and that incorporates what? Masturbation. That incorporates masturbation. And then the Sheikh says, okay, so how do we know that masturbation equals or is incorporated in desires? Or shahwa in Arabic, which is not really just desires. It's here in this narration here. It means what? Sexual desires. It means what? Sexual desires. So how does this masturbation prove that it's sexual desires? And so forth. The Sheikh brings a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's in a chapter in Sahih Muslim where Imam Muslim says, sadaqah can be any ma'roof. That charity can be anything good that you do. Charity can be anything good that you do. And under that, he brings a long narration. And from that, he says, وَفِي بِضِي أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقًا قَالُوا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَيَأْتِي أَحَدُنَا شَهْوَتُهُ وَيَكُنْ لَهُ أَجَرْ قَالَ أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ وَضَعَهَا فِي الْحَرَامِ أَكَانَ لَهُ الْوِزَرْ عَلَيْهِ وِزَرْ كَذَلِكَ إِذَا وَضَعَهَا فِي الْحَلَالِ كَانَ لَهُ أجر. That's a hadith in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ, he said that you having or fulfilling your desires, in it is reward. You fulfilling your desires, in it is reward. A, with your family. Fulfilling your desires with your family, in it is what? Reward. And then one of the companions said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are we going to get reward for fulfilling our desires? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if you were to place it, put it, devote it in haram, would you get a sin? Then likewise, if you were to put it or devote it, your desires, in something halal, you will get reward. And that which is haram is from what? Masturbation. So by putting it,
your desires. And masturbation is incorporated in here because it's impermissible. Because it's impermissible, it's haram. So here the Shaykh says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that in the statement of Allah desires here, it's put in the first hadith, it's in the same sequence as food and... Huh? He left his what? His food and his drink and... His shahwa. It didn't say jima'. It didn't say sexual intercourse. Made it general. He left his desires min ajli. And therefore it incorporates masturbation. So that's the first way to prove that masturbation breaks one's fast. The Shaykh then said the second angle. So that's the first angle. The second angle to show that it breaks your fast is qiyas. Is what? Al-qiyas. Now listen to the fiqh of Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayh. We're dealing with an issue which we're going to deal with some other time because we're not going to deal with it in depth now. But that's in regards to hijama. Everyone knows hijama. Cupping. Everyone knows hijama. Cupping. The Shaykh says that فَنَقُولْ جَاءَتِ السُّنَّةِ بِفِطْرِ السَّائِمِ بِالِاسْتِقَاءِ إِذَا قَاءَ. Look at the shart. He said, rahmatullah alayh, he said that the sunnah has come with that the one who intentionally breaks his fast, if he actually vomits. So the Shaykh is basically saying if he doesn't vomit, even though he tries to vomit, it doesn't break his fast. So the sunnah has shown that the one who intentionally tries to vomit and he actually vomits, that he's fast is what? Broken. وَبِفِتْرِ مُحْتَجِمْ إِذَا احْتَجَمَ وَخَرَجَ مِنْهُ الدَّمْ وَقِيلَ إِنَّ هَذَيْنِ يُضَاعِفَانِ الْبَدَنِ. So the Shaykh says that hijama, cupping, and vomiting intentionally and something coming out has been made to break the fast. And cupping because blood is taken. Blood is what? Taken from the person, from the fasting person, hence it's being, it breaks his fast. The Shaykh says, rahmatullah alayh, he said these two things weaken the body. Qiyas, analogy, remember. These two things weaken the body. فَأَمَّا خُرُوجُ الطَّعَامِ فَالْوَاضِحِ. He says, as for vomiting and releasing food, it's clear why that weakens your body. All the vitamins, the nutrients are leaving your body. So then it's harmful to your body. Look at the rahmah of the deen. وَلِأَنَّ مَعْدَ تَبْقَى خَالِيًا فَيَجُولَ إِنسَانُ وَيَعْتَشْ سَرِيعًا. And because his belly, his stomach becomes what? Empty. And then he becomes hungry quicker than if he didn't vomit. So that's from the wisdom of what? The prohibition or that vomit intentionally breaks your fast. أما الخروج الدم فظاهر أيضا أنه ضعيف البدن ولهذا ينصح من احتجم أن تبرع لأحد بالدم من جسمه. He says that the person who has been given, has been cupped, what happens after when he's cupped? What does the doctor do, or the person who cups him, what does he advise him to do? Taking some sugar or taking something in order to get what? Huh? Get his strength back. So now we've ascertained that from these two things, they've been made to break your fast because it weakens your body. Then the Shaykh says, وَخُرُوجُ الْمَنِّي يَحْصُ بِهِ ذَلِكَ. And the qiyas analogy is that by ejaculating, that also occurs. It weakens the body. It weakens what? The body. And the ulama have mentioned that's from the wisdom of why it's impermissible to have jima and have sexual relations in the days of Ramadan. It's from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the fasting individual, in that his strength is taken, which is why it's wajib to make ghusl in order to get energy again. Sheikh Muthaymin says. Sheikh Muthaymin said, which is why it's obligatory for the person who is in that junub state after ejaculation that they what? Take what? Ghusl to get what? Strength and nishat and energy. So therefore, this is from the wisdom, from qiyas, to show that masturbation breaks one's fast. Is that clear? Naam. So the Zahiriyya, if a Zahiri was to say to you, Ikhwan, that there's no proof in the Quran or Sunnah that says that it doesn't break up fast, what's the answer? Yani masturbation. What's the answer? If somebody says to you, in the Quran and Sunnah, there's no clear verse or clear text from the Sunnah that shows that masturbation breaks the fast, we have food clearly, then what's your answer to that? We say what? Ah, fiqh, ikhwan. There's what? There's two ways to prove this. One from the Nas, and the second from what? Qiyas. One from the text, revelation, and the second one is analogy, comparing another ruling in the revelation that has the same state. 100%. That's what qiyas is. It has the same state, same conditions, same situation, 100%. So then you do qiyas with that. Okay? Because of the illa. And the illa is what? The reasoning is what? It weakened the body. That's the one of the conditions. Now, so for example, if we have narrations, as we mentioned to a brother before, for example, you have narrations of the companion seeking tabarruk and blessing from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of these Sufis, they say the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they did tabarruk, they got blessings from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his hair and so forth. So therefore, we can get it from our sheikh. And Abdullah ibn Umar used to sit in a certain space in a masjid because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat there. So therefore, we can do it to our sheikhs. We say to them, "Hadha qiyas ma al fariq." Al qiyas ma al fariq. That is an analogy from two different things. Why? Because your sheikh is a shaitan, and he's not from the anbiya, he's not from the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commits shirk, and he's not who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran and Sunnah to. As for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khayru khalq, how can you do the analogy of the two? Are you with me, ikhwan? So that's where qiyas, there's fariq here. There's a separation in the analogy of the two things. They have to be 100% what? And they're yumkin. There is no possible that can be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, likewise here, the situation, masturbation goes in line with cupping and goes in line with vomiting, because it what? It weakens the body. They all weaken the body, so they all are unified in wisdom, in reason why it's been prohibited or it breaks your fast, so therefore they have the same ruling. I generalized it. He went into detail. Okay. All right. He said that istimna, I'm going to tell you in Nas what the Sheikh said. He said, talab al-khuruj al-manni bi-ayyi wasila. He said, actively ejaculating from any means, whether it's with the hand or is on the floor or it's with the family. Okay? No, that's the, I cut it short, but that's the detailed definition of the Sheikh. Yeah. Fayyib, let's go now to number four. Was it number three? Number four. Obashara fa amna. Yani foreplay. Somebody asked that question last lesson. Foreplay. Okay, does that break your fast? If there's foreplay and he ejaculates. Okay, if he ejaculates and there's foreplay, does that break your fast?
I was speaking about yesterday, subhanAllah.
Huh?
I was speaking about yesterday.
We dealt with that last lesson, I think. Illa, somebody asked me. About foreplay, is it permissible? Somebody asked.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
The brother that was sitting there. Okay, but we didn't go into too much detail. Anyway, does foreplay break your fast? No, it doesn't. Okay? No, it doesn't. And some of the ulama, they said that it's okay to have foreplay if you're somebody who has control of himself. Because if you're somebody who's weak, as if he does foreplay, and it would lead him to have intercourse with his family, then it's disliked that that individual does foreplay during the fasting day. Okay? But does it break your fast if you ejaculate during foreplay? Sheikh Muthaymin Rahmatullah, he says, nah, it does break your fast. It does what? Break your fast. I think that's clear. It breaks your fast. But if it doesn't, you know, you don't ejaculate, then it doesn't break your fast. Now, let's go to the next point. The next one now, which is number what? Number five. This is a madhi. And madhi, we have istimna, which comes from many, which is sperm. And we have madhi, which is called in non-colloquial English, is called pre-ejaculate fluid. It's called pre-ejaculate fluid. And that is before ejaculation, there's a fluid there. Does that break your fast? Before there's full-blown ejaculation, does that pre-ejaculative fluid break your fast? Now, and the Sheikh explained the definition of madhi. He says it's a light type of watery thing that comes during desires, when you have desires. It's a little fluid that's not thick. Okay, it's not a thick fluid that comes during what? Desires, or just after desires, or just after you've fulfilled some site or some type of desires comes to you. The Sheikh said that a madhi, it's a discussion which the ulama have differed upon. He says it comes between two things. It comes between menni and bowl. Yani sperm and urine. Madhi is in the middle. Madhi is where? In the middle. In that bowl, urine is impure. And anything that's in the body or on your clothes from urine needs to be washed in order to do any type of ibad, salah and so forth, sorry. In order to do salah, for example. And menni, the Sheikh says, nam, what did the Sheikh say about menni? Nam, menni is pure. Menni is not impure. Menni is not impure, it's pure. As for madhi, he said that it's obligatory to clean yourself when you have that, what's it called in English again? Pre-ejaculate fluid. It's obligatory for you to wash that, to clean it. Okay? It's obligatory for you to clean it, male or female, because it happens to both. It's obligatory for you to clean it, but it's not obligatory for you to clean the clothes. If, for example, it comes on your thobe, or it comes on your trousers or something like that, it's not obligatory to clean it from the hadith of the Prophet. It's not obligatory to wash it from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she would scrape it. She would what? Scrape it. She didn't wash it. She just would dalk like that. She would scrape it. So, no, without. Which shows that it's not for the madhi, which is pre-ejaculative fluid, that it's not obligatory to what? Wash it. But as for bowl, you have to wash it. As for bowl, you have to wash it. That's thabata, and it's called nadh. It's called what? Nadh. From the you can have nadh. You can do nadh as well. There's dalk and there's nadh, which is what? Sprinkle. Which is sprinkle now. According to the Hanbali madhab, it breaks your fast. According to the Hanbali madhab, it what? It breaks your fast. What do you think is the correct opinion? The second opinion. The first opinion of the Hanbali madhab, they say it breaks your fast. The second opinion? Or is there tafsil? Could be tafsil to it. Okay, anybody else? It doesn't weaken the body. Talib, he doesn't break the fast. Okay, Allah alam, good answer. The Sheikh says إِذَا بَاشَرَ فَأَمْذَا أَوْ سْتَمْنَا فَأَمْذَا أَنَّهُ لَا يُفْسِدْ صَوْمُهُ أَنْهُ لَا يُفْسِدْ صَوْمُهُ وَصَوْمُهُ صَحِيحٌ. So the Sheikh said that if he has foreplay and madhi comes, the first one we talked about foreplay and what? Many, yani foreplay and sperm comes, then it breaks his fast. Huh? But if he does foreplay and madhi comes, which is pre-ejaculative fluid, ejaculate fluid, it doesn't break his fast. Oh, istamna, or he masturbates, and if he masturbates and sperm comes out, does it break his fast? No. Huh? Yes, it does. But if he masturbates and pre-ejaculate fluid comes out, does it break his fast? No. Huh? It doesn't. Although it's haram. Although it's what? Haram. Which is why this is a proof here to show siha and tahrim are not together. Okay, the best way I can translate this: the something being haram doesn't necessarily mean it's not, that action is not it's affected the validity of that action. Something, you can do something that's haram, but it doesn't necessarily affect the validity of that action. For example, praying on a stolen property, it's haram to steal. Sah? Yeah. Yes or no? But if you pray on that, your salah is what? Accepted or not accepted? It's valid. A woman going to Hajj without a mahram. She doesn't have a mahram. Okay? Is it halal for her to go to Hajj without a mahram? No, it's haram. So she'll sin. She'll what? She'll sin. But if she done Hajj, is the Hajj accepted, inshallah? It's valid. A Hajj is what? Valid. But it's not going to be, it's going to be naqis, deficiency. Okay? So just because something is haram and it's involved, it doesn't necessarily invalidate the actual action. So tahrim and siha, you have ahkam tahklifiyya wa ahkam wada'iyya.
Same thing if you pray with stolen clothes.
Yes.
You pray.
If you pray with stolen clothes, you're sinning for the clothes that you've stolen, but it doesn't negate your salah. Why? Because that's not from the condition of that, of salah. It's not from the condition of what? Salah. So you have ahkama taklifiyya. What's the ahkama taklifiyya, Khwan? The different rulings for the what somebody who is obligatory or is upon him to do an action. Yeah, we have mentioned five. That's what? Wajib. Obligatory? Huh? Mustahab, makruh, haram, and mubah. Yani, obligatory, preferred, impermissible, disliked, and allowed. And we have siha wal fasad. We have correcting or valid or invalid. They're two separate things. They don't always work together. So something could be haram, but it doesn't mean it's what? Huh? Invalid. That's from this fighter here. So masturbation is haram. Masturbation is what? Haram, but it doesn't nullify your what? Fast, because there's no mani. If the mani doesn't come out, if the sperm doesn't come out, it doesn't invalidate your fast or break your fast. Okay, now, what's the proof? This opinion, the first opinion is that it's... what's the first opinion, brother? That the pre-ejaculate fluid, what's the first thing? It's that it breaks or doesn't break your fast? The first opinion that it what? Huh? It breaks your fast. Now, just so you can be with me, inshallah. And the second opinion is? It doesn't. And that opinion is the opinion of Sheikh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah as well. Yeah, the second one. And that's the correct opinion. What's the proof? Ask me. What's the proof? The proof is al-hujjah fihi adam al-hujjah. Al-hujjah fihi adam al-hujjah. Okay? There is no proof to show that it does break your fast. And because there's no proof in the Quran and Sunnah to show that it does break your fast, then the person who says it does break your fast, they're the ones who need to bring proof. And there is no proof. So our proof is therefore al-hujjah fihi adam al-hujjah. The proof is the fact that there's no proof. Does that make sense? Meaning that the other opinion don't have any evidence, and it's upon them to bring the evidence. When, for example, if it's in the affairs of the dunya, he says, this pen is haram. He says to you, in the affairs of the dunya, Mashi, he says that this pen is haram. And you say to him, this pen isn't haram. Of course, we can bring proofs. But really, his statement here, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Allah says he's the one who created everything in this earth for you. So that's the foundation, that anything in this earth has been made halal for us. So if somebody says that this pen is haram, then they need to bring proof, because the asl is what? It's halal. The foundation is that it's halal. So they have to bring proof. Somebody says, we do this in salah. He flicks his hands like this. We do this in salah. We say to him, the asl, the foundation in worship, man amila amila laysa alayhi amruna, fahuwa rad. Whoever does an action that's not from our affair, then it's rejected. Or man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu, fahuwa rad. Both hadith in Sahih Muslim, hadith Aisha, radhiyallahu anha. That whoever introduces a matter in this religion that's not from it, then it's rejected. So therefore, the issues of worship, the qaida is issues of the dunya is halal, except with proof. And the issues of the deen, ibadah, is haram, except proof. And if it's no proof, it's bid'ah. So therefore, he needs to bring proof. So here, the asl is what? Fasting or breaking in Ramadan? In Ramadan, he's fasting. Is that the foundation or not the foundation? The foundation. So in order to tell him that he's done something that's taken him away from that, you need proof. Okay? And be careful with the Hizbis. That's how they try and get the Ahl al-Sunnah into corners. They say, you come bring us proof. When it's the other way around. You've introduced something jadid. You've introduced something new, so you bring the proof. And the fact there's no proof is our proof. So yalla. Okay? Naam. Okay, inshallah. The final thing we're going to talk about, because you're probably restless, is if you look at something that's desirable, and then you ejaculate, does that break your fast? The ulama have spoken about this in the books of fiqh. If you look at something desirable, like your wife, does that break your fast? Does that break your fast? I'm going to mention this in short, inshallah, because of time. Sheikh Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, there's tafsil. There's what? Tafsil. There's not a yay and there's not a nay. There's not a yes and there's not a no. If you look at something desirable and you ejaculate, does that break your fast? The Sheikh says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that if you look at it once, if you look at a what? Once, accidentally. If you look at it once, accidentally, or you looked at it without any intent and so forth, and then you ejaculate, it doesn't break your fast. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna Allah tajawaz an ummati ma yahdathu bihi ish nafs." Okay? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has excused his ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from that which revolves in the nafs, just as long as it's not action that they say or a speech that they speak. So if it's just one look, it doesn't break your fast. If it's one look. But if it's recurring looks, you've looked at it once and you're looking at the wife again and you know that this is doing it to you and you continue looking and then you ejaculate, that breaks your fast. That breaks your fast. And that's from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Laka al-ula wa laysat laka athaniya." Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in the hadith about lowering your gaze. He says, for you is the first look. Yani not the first look that you know you're looking. The first look that you what? You didn't expect. Not that, okay, I've got one go. No. The first look that you did not what? Expect. Lekal ula. For you, nadra. For you, lekal ula. For you is the first. And the second is not for you. So therefore, from this hadith, do you see the fiqh of the sheikh? He says, if you look the first time, it doesn't what? And you look once and it doesn't, and you sorry, and you ejaculate, it doesn't break your fast. Okay? And it does happen.
But you still have to take shower.
You still have to take showers, taban, because of salah. Okay, to get your nishat back. But it doesn't break your fast. But if you look at it again and again, then you ejaculate, that breaks your fast. Lek al ula wa laysa lakish athaniya. For you is the first look. And the second one is not for you. Okay? And the second one is not for you. And the final one that the Sheikh mentioned, which is number 8, is thinking about something. If you think about something that you desire, and then from that you ejaculate, does that break your fast? Can I ask you a question? No. Ikhwan, if you think about something, or you look at your family and medhi comes out, the pre-ejaculate fluid comes out, does that break your fast? Huh? Why doesn't it break your fast? This is fiqh, ikhwan. Come on. If you look at your family and pre-ejaculate fluid comes out, does that break your fast? No, it doesn't break your fast. Why doesn't it break your fast? Because there's no proof for it. Because there's no what? Proof. وَعَدَمُ الْحُجَّةِ عِنْدَنَا حُجَّةِ. And the fact that there's no proof for us is the proof. This is the principles that you use, inshallah. So help, inshallah, brothers and sisters, inshallah, when you're dealing with, does this break my fast or doesn't this break my fast? You have to use these usul and these principles. Now, so reflecting and thinking about something that you desire, does that break your fast? I don't need to tell you the answer to that.
It's the same one
mentioned before. Now, does it break your fast, ikhwan? Who can tell me? If you think about something that you desire, your family or something, and you ejaculate, does it break your fast?
As the Shema mentioned, the first one, which is if you do it intentionally, it does. But if you just, like, you didn't mean it, just you start thinking, out of nowhere start thinking, and you ejaculate, it doesn't break your
fast. Can you think on purpose?
Specifically,
no, I mean, you can think about, for example, your family specifically. That's not a problem. But are you doing it so you can? It's different. You're not doing it so you can ejaculate. So it's not intentional. It's not what? Intentional. And that's it, inshallah ta'ala. Those are the mufatirat that we've dealt with so far. Can we repeat those mufatirat before we go, inshallah? What are those things that we mentioned today, whether they break the fast or not, and do they break your fast? Number one, make some salam to Allah. Ihlil. What's ihlil?
Inside the penis.
Naam. Don't be shy. This is the deen. This is ilm. Okay, naam. Ahsant. Does ihlil, using ihlil, break your fast? Putting medication through the penis, does it break your fast? Huh? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Why? Because the suppositories doesn't do it. So obviously, if that doesn't, then this does. Naam. And also, there's no avenue to the stomach. There's no avenue to. Medhi, desire or no desire. The sister says, you said in point 3 that masturbation breaks the fast as it is part of desires, but in point 5 you said that masturbating when the pre-ejaculate fluid comes out doesn't break the fast. Please clarify this. Okay, I'm going to let you answer that question. Brothers. Okay. The sister saying, you said that if the brother, if there's masturbation, male or female, and the for the man, the sperm comes out, he breaks his fast, yeah? But if he masturbates and it sperm doesn't come out, it doesn't break his fast. But then you said in point 5 that when the medhi comes out, it doesn't break your fast. Is there a contradiction there? Is there any contradiction, Ikhwan? No, there's no proof. There's no proof to prove that medhi breaks your fast. But we have proof that medhi breaks your fast. Yeah. So there is no contradiction there.
Same action, but the fluids are different.
Naam. It's just the same kind of thing when somebody vomits and nothing comes out. When somebody vomits, he tries to make himself vomit, but nothing comes out. Does that break his fast? No. No. Many sperm. And there's the one that comes before the sperm, the raqiq. Ma raqiq is like a not thick, thin type of fluid. That's the medhi, yeah? Bowl is urine. It's urine. It's in between bowl and many. Okay, it's a very important part of Tahara and important part of Siyam and stuff like that. So inshallah ta'ala, jazakumullah khair. I think this is the last lesson, Shams. Only a few days left in Ramadan. And inshallah, we'll continue after Ramadan, inshallah. And it's been a pleasure being with the brothers here of Ahl Sunnah. Jazakumullah khair. And, you know, just be patient in our studying of fiqh and studying of the affairs of the deen. As was mentioned in the beginning of the hadith, man yuridillahu bihi khair. يفقهه في الدين. Whoever Allah wants good for, He gives him fiqh and understanding of the deen. And as people of Ahl Sunnah, it's not like how the Ahl Ahwa they say. We deal with all of the affairs of the deen, all of the abwab, all of that which is related to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, we've been spending a few days dealing with Kitab al-Siyam. There's more to do, but inshallah ta'ala, we've done it before, some of them. And after Eid, inshallah ta'ala, we'll try and see and start something else, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wasallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.